If you were hoping to get a podcast called Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things, I have some very exciting news. You have figured out how to do that. You've downloaded this, and you're now listening to it. If you're able to hear my voice, that means you are able to hear my voice.
Can you hear me?
We have successful uplink. We are about to interface. Welcome to the Top 5 Things podcast.
Begin interface.
My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren, and you're about to hear a review of the Top 5 Things that happened on the Dave and Darren Morning Show on Planet 93.9.
It's brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois, Tech Drive in Milan, and West Main Street in Galesburg. And now you can order recreational items online from Galesburg, and you can order medicinal items online from the Milan location through Leafly. If you go to the website, that would be ntillinois.com.
I'm going to be out that way later on today. I might have to stop by and
absolutely
do a little compare and contrast.
Uh-huh.
Let's get started with this one. Number one.
One.
Number one.
Number one.
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 Number one.
U.S. Coast Guard firing 30 warning shots from a machine gun during an unsafe encounter with an Iranian fast attack boat.
Well, I don't like that.
Well, this is why I freaked out when I read that headline, because I thought, why are Iranian fast boats
So close to our coastline.
To the shore. This is the U.S. Coast Guard. Turns out this happened yesterday in the Strait of Hormuz, which is, you know,
Not our coastline.
7,000 miles away from here. And I guess I don't know enough about the Coast Guard. Why is the Coast Guard there? I thought their gimmick was that they guarded our coast.
Yeah, typically isn't that the Navy that's out there doing that?
That's right. There were six U.S. Navy warships escorting a submarine when 13 Iranian vessels closed in rapidly. This is the second time in less than a month that U.S. ships have fired warning shots due to Iranian actions. I get that, but the Coast Guard is over there? I
thought the Coast Guard were the kids that were asked to stay in the shallow part of the pool.
Okay. If you're just joining us,
That was Darren. I'm just joking.
That was Darren who said
The Coast Guard is cool.
We're Dave and Darren, and that one is Darren. Uh-huh. Just want to be clear about that.
When it comes to like deeper waters and greater distances, I thought that was the Navy.
7,000 miles away seems like an awful long way for the Coast Guard to be. Again, maybe I just don't understand what the Coast Guard does.
Right.
Because that seems like, they are part of the armed forces. I get that, but I thought the whole point of them was to guard our coast. Coast Guard is a maritime, military, multi-mission service unique to United States military branches for having a maritime law enforcement mission with jurisdiction in both domestic and international waters. Mm-hmm. I've never understood what the Coast Guard is, apparently.
That they ventured out that far.
The Coast Guard was created by the Congress on the 4th of August in 1790 at the request of Alexander Hamilton, and it is the oldest continuous seagoing service of the United States. So the Coast Guard's been around longer than the Navy, which I guess makes sense. Guard the coast before you start sending boats other places. There are more than 41,000 active duty personnel and 7,000 reservists in the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard by itself is the 12th largest Navy in the world.
Nice.
Yeah. It is the second smallest of the U.S. military service branches in terms of membership. But they're over there in the Strait of Hormuz. So they domestic waters and international. But see, I would assume that means international waters being just off of our coast, like 7 miles off our coast.
Once they turn into international waters, yes.
Two college students in California had to be rescued from the Pacific Ocean over the weekend when they floated too far from shore on a boat they made themselves. These knuckleheads set sail from Isla Vista at 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. The boat consisted of two connected kiddie pools on top of some sort of board with 25-gallon plastic buckets fashioned to the bottom.
Nice.
one of the people responsible for the rescue saying here, quote, "They were not engineering students." The men, who are in their early 20s, had one oar, but that oar was no match for, you know, the Pacific Ocean. The seas were calm, but the water temperature was in the 50s, and these guys were not wearing wetsuits. They were 300 yards offshore when crews had to go out on paddle boats and personal watercraft to rescue them. It says here, and I think this is the most shocking part of this story, 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, alcohol was not a factor.
We're night owls.
Still curious as to why they decided to do this at 2 o'clock in the morning.
But 300 yards is as far as they ventured out?
That's as far as they got.
Yeah, that's
as before they had to get rescued.
That's enough.
So it's two kiddie pools, and then a big board, and then a bunch of Home Depot buckets kind of like glued to the bottom.
Where did they sit?
Well, this I think is upside down, maybe. I think they sat in the kiddie pools. Oh, right? Okay. You put the buckets underneath because the buckets they thought would float. I don't know. This just seems not very well thought out.
Why do you need to sit in a kiddie pool then?
An ambulance was dispatched to the scene, but no injuries were reported when they pulled these two nightmares out of the Pacific Ocean. Yeah, well, you know, it's just, I don't know, I'd be tempted just to let them keep floating for a while. I don't know that I'd be in a rush to rescue these kids.
Yeah, these vessels typically doesn't work out too well.
Not usually, no. Number two. I have some breaking news. Darren, this just handed to me.
Okay.
Ellen DeGeneres announcing she's done, quitting her talk show.
Oh, okay. My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
She will quit the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Oh, quit.
Quitting after 18 seasons, following the claims that the workplace there was toxic, and probably more importantly, following the fact that she's lost over 1 million viewers in the last year. Mm-hmm. That probably has more to do with it than anything,
well,
right?
Well, with her being gone, the workplace will be a lot better there then, huh?
Ellen, the show's over. Ellen is set to make the announcement today because, according to an insider, she's had enough.
They should get Helen Hunt and then we'll just call it Helen and see if anyone notices the difference.
Just buy a big H.
Just come out. Just buy a big H. That's all you have to do. Buy a big H. I mean, I don't know that you see Helen with two L's a lot, but anyway, you do it. She comes out, dances around, sits down, and asks a couple questions.
Source, I would watch the Helen Hunt show regularly. I'd watch that. Ellen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Paul Reiser. Oh, brother.
Every show he's going to come on?
Every show.
The source claiming that Ellen and the producers will make the announcement today because she has had enough and has told the team that she's done. Source claiming that she's promised one more season after this one and will exit the end of the 2021-2022 season.
Oh, brother.
So it's going to be a goodbye year?
The long goodbye.
Ugh.
Here's a rocking chair. I bought it for you.
Ratings.
Wait a minute.
Ratings in New York and Chicago down 40%. In Los Angeles, her ratings are down 59%. She's lost 32% of her Philadelphia viewers. In San Francisco, she's lost 50%. Why would you give her another year?
No kidding.
This is enough. We've had enough of this. 18 seasons is nothing to sneeze at. You had your fun. Yeah. Now we're going to do a long, tearful goodbye. The show is coming to an end after one more season. I don't trust that. That seems like you have a season to bounce back. She's saying that she's ending the show because it's not a challenge anymore. After more than 3,000 episodes.
I can do this in my sleep.
Well, then then stop now. If it's not a challenge anymore.
It'll be a challenge next year.
The challenge would be to get your viewers back. That's, you want to stick around. Now you've got a challenge, right? She says, I was going to stop after season 16, but pushback from affiliates in the stations had me sign up for 3 more seasons. That was the plan all along.
They wanted me so bad.
I was always going to end after next year. Really? Because that seems suspicious. Kind of sus, Ellen. Kind of sus. In September last year, she addressed the allegations that she'd created a toxic workplace. Quote, as you may have heard, this summer there were allegations of a toxic work environment at our show, and then there was an investigation. I learned that things happened here that never should have happened. I take that very seriously, and I want to say that I'm sorry to the people that were affected. I know that I'm in a position of privilege and power, and with that comes responsibility, and I take that responsibility for what happens at my show.
I accidentally drank too much cough syrup, and then I peed on a hay bale.
That wasn't you, Ellen.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
I could have swore I heard that in the news.
No, that was Bob Baffert's groom.
But that wasn't me?
No, and that wasn't even the thing. That horse got ointment.
Well, yes, that was my excuse for everything.
You've done the show for 19 seasons. Whatever it is, like, that's enough's enough. And if no one's watching, I mean, the affiliates don't have to sign up for another year if they don't want, right? If you're
Mr.
One of these,
TV, you tell me.
Well, listen, I'll tell you this. If Brood lost 50% of our audience, there wouldn't be a goodbye season. There wouldn't be Dave's last call. If we were down...
Dave's last stand. And it's him barricaded in a brewery.
Just drinking and telling you what I really think.
And from time to time, firing off warning shots.
I can tell you this. I can promise you that with my dinky little TV show, if we lost 50% of the audience...
And you do the promo for it. You do the promo for what's called Dave's Last Stand on Brood. And you're sitting there. You're in a brewery by yourself, barricaded. And you're doing the promo for it. And there's a red light that's shining right between your eyes. Some sort of scope light.
Listen, this is a... This is a...
Join me for Dave's Last Stand.
Apparently, Ellen told her staff yesterday that she's had enough, and then there's going to be an hour-long special tomorrow on The Ellen Show where she will sit down and discuss leaving with Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, boy. Gosh.
She says, quote, when you're a creative person, you constantly need to be challenged, and as great as this show is and as fun as it is, it's just not a challenge
creative
anymore.
Creative, other people write your jokes.
Well, yeah. I don't understand. I don't understand any of this. The challenge is nobody watches your show anymore. You've lost half of your audience in some markets. You've lost more than 1 million viewers overall. And
I'm not sure when it's on.
It's on at 3, right?
At 3 o'clock? Okay.
Is it? I don't know. I know that Brood is on at 10:35 on the same station.
Dave's Last Stand. Hi, join me this Saturday.
Join me for what I think will be a very revealing final show.
It's going to be a blast.
Well, all right, everybody. Since this is the last show, I got some things to say. Roll credits.
It's how the Sopranos ended.
That's not bad.
Number three.
People have hobbies, unusual hobbies. It's fun to have something to fritter away your time with. You're not really one for hobbies, are you?
No.
Other than pounding keystones. Do you have any? Is that your hobby, would you say? Have you ever had a hobby? Something that occupies your time.
Like what?
I don't know, like stamp collecting or...
No, I've got stamps. They're in the car.
Yeah, but you use those to mail letters.
It's not a collection.
You've never known the joy of soaking an envelope in water and slowly peeling the stamp off and then putting it in a book.
I know.
Oh, it's a thrill. Trust me. I want to share this story with you about a Japanese skeleton enthusiast. That's what this guy does for fun.
They have to be Japanese skeletons?
No. He's just a skeleton enthusiast who happens to be Japanese.
Oh, okay. All right. I heard you wrong.
No, you heard me. You heard me right. I just didn't get a chance to fully explain. It's not just Japanese skeletons that he's into. That would be a weird hobby. But skeleton enthusiast? I bet that looks good on a resume when you put your interests down. I'm something of a skeleton enthusiast, and I'd like to come work for this
goodbye.
Organization. Guy's name is Mr. Kudo. He is a Japanese man who dreams of transforming his home into a museum of sorts. He wants to put a bunch of animal skeletons up in the house. And he's getting a lot of reaction on Twitter with his latest creation. It's an almost perfect chicken skeleton assembled out of the bones of a rotisserie chicken that he ate.
I'm going to put this thing back together.
He goes to the store, gets a rotisserie chicken.
Eats it,
and then saves all the bones, cleans all the bones, and reassembles it. Got it at a supermarket there in the Kanagawa Prefecture a couple of weeks ago. The preserved chicken skeleton is preserved on the same disposable platter that the roasted chicken came in. You know, when you go to Hy-Vee or Costco, yeah. It comes in that little container.
Yeah. No muss, no fuss.
He's got it in the container, and I have to say, it's striking. It looks great. Like, it looks like something you'd see at a museum.
Head's missing.
Well, yeah, because there's no head bone in a chicken.
There's no chicken skull?
Oh, I guess there is, but you don't have a...
They don't give you the chicken
head. They don't give you the head when you get a rotisserie chicken, right?
They don't supply the head.
No, that's probably for the best.
No, that is for the best.
That would put me off chicken if I had to look at its stupid face. The preserved chicken skeleton, showcased on the same disposable platter that came with the dish. Everyone blown away because they say it looks better than specimens you would see in museums.
Mm-hmm. Guy knows what he's doing.
Mr. Kodo captions in the photo here. He says,
I have to imagine when you're consuming the chicken, uh-huh. You have to be kind of
very careful.
Very careful it how is. You're doing that.
He says, I ate too cleanly by mistake. He saw that the photos went viral and he shared details about the process. He says, after eating the chicken, I removed the meat leftovers from the bones, dried them, bleached them, and then put them together. He'd accidentally eaten some of the smaller bones, so he says this is not a perfect chicken skeleton.
Maybe next time.
But the process took several weeks, just drying the chicken bones.
What do you mean he ate some of the smaller bones?
That's what he says. He says he accidentally ate some of the smaller bones in the chicken.
But weren't you trying to be careful?
Well, I mean, there's being careful and there's being hungry.
If I'm going to eat a chicken, yeah. Even if I'm not being careful, odds are I'm not going to eat any of the little bones.
You wouldn't think. Are there really tiny imperceptible bones that we're not aware of that we're eating? I wouldn't think so, right?
We're not talking about salmon patties.
I have never, in all my years of enjoying rotisserie chicken,
eaten a bunch of bones?
No.
Small bones?
No. And you're right. If I were eating the chicken,
knowing that you're going to put it back together,
with the mindset of this is the cheapest, dirtiest jigsaw puzzle of all time.
Be careful.
Just drying the bones took 14 days, he says. This guy has also recreated the heads of several fish, a whole frog, and even a large bird. He's got more than 70,000 likes for these pictures of the
when he
animals.
Invites you to dinner, pass.
You know what this reminds me of? In the cartoons, right? Like, they would always have, like, I don't know, like Spike the dog would always have, like, a giant ham bone or like a turkey leg, right? Yeah,
he'd have a catfish.
And you put it in your mouth,
yeah.
And then as you pull it out, there's just a perfect bone. Yeah,
the perfect catfish.
Right. That's what this guy reminds me of. But yeah, this is his dream. He's a skeleton enthusiast.
What do you think the odds are that he ate the whole chicken in one sitting?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Or do you think he had it over the course of a couple days?
I mean, you could eat all of it.
Or at least he got the flesh off of it.
Yeah. Yeah, is that what he does first? Does he... Do you take the meat off first, or do you just kind of take your time?
Or you just go ahead and eat it as you normally would.
You know who else is a big skeleton enthusiast? Martha Stewart. Spends her time collecting skeletons. She says the scarier the better. Martha Stewart has collected skeletons for years. And outdoors, every Halloween, she has 20 human skeletons that she puts outside her house.
Wait a minute, that's not allowed?
She says she likes to decorate with skeletons. The scarier, the better. She scatters 20 human skeletons outdoors each Halloween.
So if you're rich and famous, you get to have human remains?
She says she enjoys their versatility, lounging them on patio chairs, cross-legged around light fixtures, and perched in trees with their arms outstretched.
Well, then why doesn't she offer that as part of her, what is it, the mainstay line?
Human skeletons?
Well, plastic ones.
She says, I like the mouth open a little bit on a skeleton. She's all in. It's fun when you have the skeletons to keep them open. Now, those aren't chicken skeletons. You would think she would be the one that would be taking rotisserie chickens and turning them into some sort of potpourri or something, right?
Chicken skeletons out in the front yard around Halloween.
Haunted chickens! That's pretty boss. You guys want to come back in my backyard and see the haunted chicken coop? Tell you this much, I have you up poultry for a while. You won't think about eating a bird till Thanksgiving when you come and see the haunted chicken coop. Uh-huh.
Oh, I've got haunted turkeys back there.
Oh, the screams. Screams.
Number four.
Time to time, we like to check on this Reddit where people wonder if their behavior was in the wrong. You know, you're out there, you're doing your best.
Trying to make it happen.
And then you realize later on, gosh, maybe I acted in a way that wasn't appropriate. And you ask on this subreddit if you're in the wrong. Of course, the language they use is much more colorful. I can't say the name of the
subreddit. I'm
going
to have to ask you what that is off the air one of these days.
Yeah, one of these days. Sure. I've got three people who are wondering if they're in the wrong. Now, again, we always say this at the outset of this bit. Just having the ability to wonder if you're in the wrong, that's something that people who are real jerks don't have.
Mm-hmm.
People who are awful don't ever have a moment of self-reflection where they think,
they're not going to question anything.
Right. So more often than not, they're not in the wrong. But we'll see if today's any different. There's this one. Am I a jerk for refusing to change the meal I'm making for my friend's dietary requirements? Here's the backstory. 3 weeks ago, I asked a friend if he wanted to make some plans to come over and I'll cook.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to try out some new recipes. So yeah. I gave him 4 meals to pick from. I knew that he would like the sound of all of them.
Yeah.
He picked one, and I made plans for this Friday. On Monday, I sent him a message just to make sure that we're still on for dinner.
Yeah.
I told him I was getting everything ready for the meal. Everything is going to get delivered tonight for Friday's meal. And he said yes. Very happy with his selection. He would see me on Friday.
Okay.
Well, this morning, I get a message from him saying, I'm on a health kick. And now that I look at it, this meal is too high in fat and calories for me.
Okay.
I told him, look, I already ordered and paid for the groceries.
Yeah.
If you would have told me this on Monday, sure, when I asked you, I could have changed it.
Sure.
I'm making everything from scratch, And all told, it cost me about $70 for everything that I needed.
Yeah. And you're just starting your health kick now. You know what? You're going to need to wait a week, okay?
I said, you're being a jerk here. You're the one wasting my time and my money. And you know what? I said, don't bother coming over on Friday. Uh-huh. He said, no, I still want to come. Just make me something else that fits my diet better.
No.
He said he was already on his health kick when we made the plans. And I say, well, then you could have told me this then.
Exactly.
I said, you're the one being a jerk. He told me I'm being a jerk because I don't care about his needs and I'm not supporting him in this new health kick. So am I being the jerk for refusing to change what I'm making at the very last minute when I've already bought all the ingredients and gave him plenty of time to tell me?
Are you trying to get this guy to sleep with you?
Of course not. I mean, that's just... No, you're just, this is not somebody that you want in your house for a meal, is what I'd say.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm making what I make. Right? If you go ahead and bring a snack. Bring some celery if you'd like to.
How about this? Am I the jerk for telling my boyfriend to stop upstaging me with my family? I'm a 25-year-old woman. I've been dating my boyfriend Luke for almost a year. He's 27. We live two states away from my family. I have a nephew who's 6 and a niece who's 3, and I absolutely adore both of those kids. Because of COVID, I haven't had a chance to see them in over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, restrictions have been lifted, and I asked Luke to come with me to meet and see my family, and he agreed. Here's where the conflict starts. Luke works in law enforcement, which my nephew automatically thinks is really cool since he watches Paw Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
Luke also knows a few magic tricks, which he showed to my niece and nephew, and they were both enthralled by the magic tricks.
Uh-huh.
After one of his magic shows, my niece grabbed his leg and said, Luke, I love you.
Uh-huh.
He hugged her back and said, I love you too. He then pointed to me and said, go tell your aunt how much you love her, which I did appreciate.
Sure.
My parents,
but we don't.
My parents were really impressed with Luke, as were my niece and nephew. But I'm kind of pissed. I think he should have taken a back seat with my family, especially my niece and nephew. I hadn't seen them in over a year, and I think it wouldn't have killed him to hang back a bit. When we left my hometown, we got in a pretty big argument. He said he was just trying to fit in with my family.
Yeah.
But you know, I think he was actively trying to upstage me. He made my first visit with my family in about a year about him. Am I the jerk for not liking that?
Yes. I think you need to learn some magic tricks.
I think this boyfriend needs to learn a magic trick and disappear. You're mad because he got along with your family too well?
Yeah.
I mean, you upstaged me. One last one. Am I the jerk for using hot sauce like an idiot?
Could be. That could be.
You know what? This is one I don't even think we need to read the story.
Right.
The answer is probably.
Yeah, probably.
I love hot sauce.
Who doesn't?
My favorite is Tabasco. I just love all hot sauce. For years, I've carried a mini bottle of Tabasco in my purse and some emergency mini packets in my wallet. I gotta stop. That's something they make? Packets of hot sauce that you can keep in your billfold? That's a thing?
I haven't seen those, but maybe.
That seems like an accident waiting to happen. I don't pull the hot sauce out at restaurants because it's in poor taste, and most restaurants don't allow it. It's mostly for takeout food, eaten on the go.
Yeah.
Or for when I go to a spice intolerant friend's house.
Uh-huh.
I'm also weird in that I don't put the hot sauce all over my food or mix it in. I put a few drops on or squirt it on individual bites of food because I like to alternate between spicy bites and regular bites.
Uh-huh.
When I'm out at restaurants, I tend to hog the bottle of hot sauce, so I normally will ask for 2 bottles so that other people that enjoy
if they offer hot sauce,
are not inconvenienced.
Yeah.
With that background information out of the way, here's what happened. COVID restrictions have loosened, so my husband and some friends of ours went out to a restaurant with outdoor dining to get some drinks and dinner. And one of our friends brought her new boyfriend, Jim. None of us had met Jim before. And honestly...
And he did some magic tricks.
He's a cop.
Which I didn't...
Recently single.
Which I didn't care for. So I splashed hot sauce in his eyes. He was upstaging me.
One of our friends brought her new boyfriend, Jim. None of us had met Jim before. And honestly, he seemed a little off from the start.
Right off the bat, I don't care for this one.
He openly ogled myself and other women in our group. He made a joke about how people with disabilities are a drain to society.
What?
After a friend updated us on how her daughter with Down syndrome was doing.
Oh my God.
And he consistently talked down to my friend. When our food arrived, I asked for a second bottle of hot sauce and began to do my thing with it. When he saw what I was doing, Jim gave me the dirtiest look and then asked me why I was using the hot sauce, quote, like an idiot.
Well, that's what you get. You're gonna mess around like that. Some people might think you're an idiot.
I briefly explained to him why I use hot sauce the way I do. He then turned to my friend, his girlfriend, and told her, you didn't tell me your friend was an... And then he uses the R word here. I'm not going to lie. I saw red. I told him off about everything he'd done wrong throughout our get-together. And that everything, anywhere he was, I would no longer be. Because this, you are disgusting and disrespectful, I told him.
Yeah.
I then flagged down our waiter, got a to-go box for my hardly touched meal, paid my husband and I's tab, and we walked out. I just couldn't be around someone like him. Later, I got a text from my friend telling me that I humiliated her, and all of our friends followed suit because they left because they couldn't stand him either.
Uh-huh.
And they also told her they refused to be around this guy.
Uh-huh.
She told me I alienated her and made everyone hate her. So now I feel like a jerk because I didn't mean to hurt her. I just needed to get away from her awful boyfriend before I caused an even bigger scene.
Oh, and I'll cause one.
She's now begging everyone to give this boyfriend a second chance, and none of us are interested in doing that.
No.
She's now cursing us out and calling us heartless. So am I the jerk for this?
What's that have to do with hot sauce?
Well, this guy said a lot worse things than you use hot sauce like an idiot. Was that what... Yeah. Would send her over the edge? No. It was him throwing around the R word pejoratively. And she was absolutely right to get up and leave. But, I mean, should she have been a little cooler about how she left? Or was she right to say, your new boyfriend's a jerk and I'm not going to have anything to do here with this guy? I mean, I think that's the way to handle it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you ought to get an award for this.
Cut bait, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when your friends bring someone into the group who is this awful, you got to nip that in the bud. You can't just keep it to yourself.
What's the R word? Tell me off air.
I'll mute the mic here when you're ready.
Oh, well, that's no good.
Right?
Yeah. Can't be doing that.
No. No. And again... someone in the group has a daughter who's living with Down syndrome, and this guy's making jokes about how people with disabilities are a drain on society. That's how he jokes. So yeah, no, you can't have this guy dating your friend.
And nip it in the bud.
Exactly. No, you're. I think what you did was absolutely right. And if it were up to me, I would have given you all the hot sauce
in the eyes. You're getting it in the eyes. What do you think of that? And the ears.
So the only... We do have a jerk, but it was the middle story with the... you're upstaging me in front of my... In front of my family. My family loves you too much, and I feel like that took focus away from me. It should have been my time to shine with
Maybe you two should get together.
So...
The girl...
So awful girlfriend and awful boyfriend?
Yeah. You guys maybe it'll make that work.
Yeah. I don't know where the stories are coming from, but I think that's a match made in heaven.
Five.
Number five.
The cops in Houston have captured a man. This is a murder suspect who fled with a tiger. Now, I have good news and I have not good news.
Mm-hmm.
This man allegedly evaded police while housing a Bengal tiger in his yard. They've got Victor Hugo Cuevas, who was out on bond for a murder charge. They don't know where the tiger is. the guy they got.
I had to cut him loose, man.
The Bengal tiger they don't got. He was out on bond for a murder charge when neighbors spotted the big cat. There were also reports that this guy had monkeys, which are not illegal to have. But having a tiger, that is illegal. An off-duty deputy went to the house to confront this guy. When the Houston police arrived at the scene, Cuevas put the tiger in a white SUV and drove off. There was a brief pursuit, but he got away with the tiger. Owning a tiger in Houston is a Class C misdemeanor. According to a Texas law, that's punishable with a maximum $500 fine. Cuevas charged with felony evading arrest, and authorities plan to seek to revoke his bond for a November 2020 murder charge following this incident. Now, they were able to get him. They don't know where the tiger is. Is it possible the tiger took the truck somewhere? Tiger's driving around in that SUV?
The most heartbreaking part of this whole story is those monkeys really missed that tiger. They worked hand and foot.
So you're allowed to have monkeys.
The monkeys are saying, "Tiger, please come home."
Tiger, if you're able to hear this.
If you can.
If you're watching this, Tiger.
Wherever you are.
No one's mad at you. Please come home.
You can hear us within the sound of our monkey voices. Please come home.
Tiger, if you're able to understand our shrieks and howls.
Uh-huh.
Know this. You're welcome home. All is forgiven, Tiger. We know you didn't murder anybody. That was Victor that did that, allegedly.
We know how you hated our monkey screams.
We know we can be a bit much to take.
Yeah.
You know, they say that the expression is as fun as a barrel of monkeys. Yeah. But I think you'll find in practice, a barrel full of monkeys, that's not fun at all.
No, we get old real fast.
We did. Our monkey shock jockery gets old.
Uh-huh.
And fast. Listen, Tiger. Mistakes were made. Some of it's your fault, most of it's ours. We're willing to accept that as monkeys, a lot of this is our fault. Come home, and we can sit down and we can work out something.
Come home. We'd like to go for a ride.
Please, Tiger. Tiger, we miss you and that white SUV, because that was our only way of getting around. Please, Tiger, follow posted speed limits.
That vehicle is not paid for.
Tiger.
We still have some.
Tiger, we got seven payments left.
We got seven payments left.
And then it's ours.
And then we're going to take that road trip like we promised.
We're finally going to go see West Texas. We've been talking about it forever.
We've been promising you that forever.
Listen, Tiger, we know you want to go to El Paso. We want to go too. Let's do this together. Bring the white SUV home, and we can just make a day.
And all
of it
is forgiven.
There's no reason. Let's let, as monkeys and tiger, let's let the past be in the past.
We promised you we'd get tickets for the Sun Bowl, and we will.
Please bring that SUV home. We left some stuff in the glove compartment, and it would be best if we found it and not the police.
Not cool, man.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Thanks for downloading, subscribing, listening to the show. Thanks for leaving reviews for us on iTunes. Thanks for just being you. You're only marvelous. We appreciate you listening. It's been fun spending some time with you. We'll have another one of these podcasts for you soon. But until then, we want to say thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois for making it possible to communicate and interface.
The Milan store
is
open every day. Galesburg is open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hey, stick a fork in me.